there are 120,000 unsolved murder cases in America.
It was the next day that I found out from my parents what had happened, that my sister was killed.
Each one is called a cold case.
Sometimes you have to look really closely to find the evidence.
Damn it, I killed her.
Damn it, I killed her.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
Garcia is walking into the home of a real monster.
I was nervous. I realized what kind of person I was dealing with.
It's a goosebump moment.
Download new episodes every Tuesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Well, welcome to our favorite hour of the week, right, Gary?
Best hour in the universe.
Best hour in the universe, Reasonable Doubt. Mark Garagus here. Gary, you're over there.
I'm here.
You're behind the glass.
Ace will be here any minute, and then I'll shut up.
And there's a reason that we'll talk about next week as to why we're starting right now and doing this without Ace for the first couple of minutes, which
Mark's
is kind of interesting.
Mark's had quite the week. Fans are – it's unfortunate the fans don't get the insight that I get all the time.
Exactly. Sometimes you guys have to wait. There's a little delay. It depends. But one thing you never have to delay on is LegalZoom. As a business owner, you know it's important to keep moving forward. But – stuff comes up. Boy, do I know things come up that take your time and focus. And whether it's reviewing contracts, registering trademarks, staying current on fees and permits, LegalZoom.com can help. You know, it was created 16 years ago by some of the brightest minds in law and technology, and that really is true. They've helped more than 2 million business owners navigate the legal system with confidence. Never worry about the evil billable hour piling up. LegalZoom is not a law firm. I repeat, it's not a law firm. Get answers to your business questions at fixed rates. Isn't that amazing, Gary? You can get a fixed rate.
I have nightmares about you billing me hourly.
Right? Gary was just listening to me talking to somebody saying, really, this is the road you want to go down? You want to try this case? I'm happy to try it. In fact, I'll try it for my client for free just to drive your client into bankruptcy. Get answers to your business questions at fixed rates through LegalZoom's nationwide network of independent attorneys. What do you say, Gary?
I say take some pressure off yourself. Go to LegalZoom.com now to take care of your business before the year winds down. For special savings, be sure to enter code DOUBT in the referral box at checkout. That's code DOUBT for special savings only at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com. That is not jive, by the way, folks. What he just said about what I was sitting here listening to was a phone call he was having with a business associate. And the part that made me perk up and lift my head and start laughing was he said, I'll bankrupt his ass. And it was just so matter of fact. It wasn't really a threat. It was just, I don't know what this crazy person is doing, but if they want to go down this road, it's not going to go well for them.
I don't understand. It's one of the things that perplexes me about civil litigation. Because the first 20 years I did nothing but criminal, and then I kind of segued and do quite a bit of civil and take cases that interest me or have a cause or things like that. This particular case, I won't mention any names, but I feel badly because the financial backer of our client is taking advantage of her and is trying to steal the company for her and figures that nobody's going to defend her and nobody's going to represent her against him and that he just beat her into submission. I took the case, basically.
Seems like a lot of the cases you've been taking lately as opposed to early in your career are almost about bullying.
Yeah, it really is about bullying. I've gotten to the point where I just hate what has happened to the law, where it's basically if some corporation, institution, or wealthy person, you know, they say civil litigation is a rich man's sport, and it's true. If you are wealthy, you can beat somebody into submission, and it just bugs the hell out of me. It shouldn't be that way. It is that way. I get it, but it shouldn't be. And so, you know, fortunately, as of right now, I can do that. Hopefully I can keep doing it for a while.
Oh, it's nice that you're in that position where you know, you can do the big class actions and you can do the high profile, you know, celebrity or what have you. But you're also able to kind of pick and choose, hey, this is unjust and I've got the resources and I can step in here and hopefully do some good. And, maybe wet my whistle a little too because I got bills to pay. Blue Apron's not sending every meal.
Although Tommy John did send me a box of underwear today.
Yes, they did. You're very lucky I didn't abscond with them. I must like you very much.
I know. Well, I think I've still got – don't I still have some product in the freezer that I need to get out?
New Omaha Steak showed up, but the name on the box, one Adam Carolla.
Oh, Adam and Olga.
So the Ace Man has some Omaha Steaks in the freezer. I haven't seen one come through for you, but I will alert you should that happen.
Thank you. If that happens, I'll be happy to
drop it off at the house.
I've been Vinny's worst nightmare lately. I never stopped doing Lent, so he'll scold me when he hears that.
Good to see you, my friend.
How are you?
Oh, crazy. Sonny's in the hospital.
For what?
Yeah, skull fracture.
Sonny had a skull fracture.
Yeah,
huh?
He fell off a bike and whacked his head, and he should have had a helmet on, and we should sue
Lacanata.
The Corollas should sue themselves. Yes. It's just been whirlwind of everything, but Lynette's out of town. He's at Children's Hospital. It's a crazed.
Wow.
It's a crazed.
Is he okay?
Yes.
You want to show him the photo?
He's okay. Yeah.
You have the photo?
You can see a photo of him he's a mess.
How old is he now?
He's 11.
Okay. So at 12, I was racing down Beulah with my shirt off, racing another kid.
Beulah's the name of the town whore.
Yeah.
People need to know they're not from the La Cañada area.
Actually, do you know the story of Beulah in La Cañada?
No,
Beulah was apparently the paramour for the guy who founded La Cañada, and he named the street after
her. Well, then there you go.
Yeah. And I was not wearing a shirt, not wearing a helmet at 12 years old, came over the top, broke my jaw, skinned off my thing, was in the hospital for a week. I feel Sonny's pain. I should go by there. Is the brain's okay? Everything's okay?
The brain is okay, or at least in the state it was when before the injury. Speaking of the brain, you want to know, this guy could be either potential colleague of yours or client, depending on what you think of this statement. So we're driving in the car. Couple days back, I'm taking him over to the park, and we're going to throw the ball around. I got Sonny, Natalia. Lynette asked, I can always tell Lynette's up to something because she had to do a presentation or something because she just matter-of-factly said, how many Paul Newman cars do you have again? Which she'd never asked normally, but there's something in her presentation
that
she must be doing. But anyway. So I talked to her. So we got in the car, and I had that in my mind. And I said to – the answer is 10, by the way.
You have 10 Paul Newman.
10 Paul Newman race cars. Okay. So I got in the car, and I said, hey, kids, do you guys know how many Paul Newman race cars Daddy has? And Natalia said 13. It's always a bummer when they go higher.
Right, because then it makes you feel like, oh.
Yeah, it's like when you go, guess what I paid for the sweater? And they go, $4? And you go,
$20,
but – I thought it was a bargain. Yeah. Anyway, now I don't feel good.
You've completely deflated me.
Okay. So, Sonny, because he's Sonny, says 9 cars. And I said, 10 cars. And he said, I was closest. And I said, okay. And I said, now how many championship cars, Paul Newman championship cars, does Daddy have? And then Natalia chimes in because she's first every time. She goes, 6. And I go, no, but thank you once again for making me feel bad. Paul only won 4 championships, so it can't be 6. But out of the 4 championships he won, how many championship cars do you think Daddy has, Sonny? He pauses, he thinks about it, and he says, 5. And I said, well, now how could Daddy have 5 championship cars if Paul only won 4 championships? Can't be more, so I'll let you rethink that. And he says, no, I'm sticking with 5. And I said, why are you sticking with 5? He said, 1 underneath Natalia. that's how I know I'll be right.
Oh, I said, that's not a client. That's some game theory.
That's some game theory. Yeah. Right? And I said, well, now, can't be. He said, as long as I, my objective is to beat the girl right. in the backseat.
It isn't to
me.
Be
it's
accurate.
Not to be right. So all, and there could be a problem if I know if I go five, I'm one less. And I'll win. Yeah. I don't care what the time looks like up on the
right.
board.
You can give me every hit in the world, and it doesn't matter
take
at this
five.
Point.
I'll take one, one banana.
That's some good. That's next level thinking.
So,
yeah, how'd you get him there?
Oh, so it was an insane thing. You know, it's such a great neighborhood that we live in, and he took a spill on a bike. The neighbor, the kid, he took a spill with, like ran back and started. Ringing the doorbell, then we all come running out, and then it was up the street, but then we started getting in the car to sort of speed where he was, and then he's in the back, but now he's in another car. He's in a car coming our way, if the guy flags us down, a kid jumps out, he's got the huge, the brain, it looks like, you know, my God, he broke his head.
Right.
And, you know, Lynette's calm, cool, and collected.
Oh, my God.
We race him off to the emergency room.
Where'd you take him? Did you take him to Verdugo?
Took him to Verdugo. Everything was great. Everything was fine. They did all the CT scans and everything. And then he went home. And then the deal was, all right, well, chillax and watch TV for a few days and keep an ice pack on your head. And right. then with that information in mind, the following morning, Lynette kept her plans to go to New York for business. So she then split. Sonny was fine. Everything was fine. I went off to work. And then I got the call from the doctor. We saw something on the scan we didn't like. We wanted him to bring him back to Verdugo and get a second CT scan, in which case it was an inconvenience at this point where I had to call the nanny and say, I'm at work. Can you take him into Verdugo? And then the second phone call came, which is, just take him down to Children's Hospital and let him do the stuff there. That's where the surgeons are. And I said, fine. And then that morphed into, he should probably just be admitted. And then that morphed into, he should stay a couple of days.
Jesus.
It's all observation. Right. And it's all lawyers and observation.
Right.
You know, they can't send somebody home. So he's fine. It's just Lynette's out of town. I got Natalia and the dog and 10 jobs. I'm going out of town, and I just couldn't have picked a worse
it's
little
too bad
window
if I had
this.
Known. I flew in late last night from New York. She could have come with me.
Oh,
I would have brought her.
Yeah, she had some business today, but wow. God bless you. So Harvey Weinstein, what's your take?
How closely have you followed this?
Fairly.
Okay. What was your immediate reaction to the Lisa Bloom component of this? She was the first lawyer, the daughter right. of Gloria Allred, represented him. Mind you, represented Cosby accusers, represented Kathy Griffin with her famous...
Right.
I still haven't
right.
figured out what that was, and you know, Kathy.
I know what it was.
What was that? I mean, yeah. And then she also represented the Usher accuser. Remember that one?
Herpes?
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a big girl.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
mm-hmm.
But is that did I just fat shame? I may have. So I think I violated some politically correct rule.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm asking you before I rant about it. Did you, as a layperson, although a adjunct professor of law at Loyola and former federal prosecutor,
yeah.
but and rear admiral, don't forget rear admiral.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to her? How long was she on the case? About 48 hours, 72 hours?
I couldn't figure out what she was doing in the first. I didn't know she was on his roster in the first place. So I was a little confused that she was like recusing herself, except for I'm not sure what her role was or what her position was.
Apparently, she wrote a book or a treatment called Suspicion Nation, which was about the Trayvon Martin case.
Uh-huh.
He apparently optioned it a year ago.
Oh, Harvey right. Yes, I had heard this.
So apparently she announced that she was going to, the history of this was, she was advising him, she'd had dinner with him, and he's a dinosaur, and she was going to bring in kind of a village to help him understand how his dinosaur ways are no longer applicable in this day and age.
Uh-huh.
And then her mother came out and Gloria said something like, I would never represent him. He's lucky to have her or something like that. But kind of was damning the whole situation with faint praise.
Right.
And then there was a firestorm. And next thing you know, she resigned.
Right. Well, I just figure you got to get. This guy is basically like in the movies when one of those huge spaceships eventually just comes completely destroyed, but they show it from a distance. They just show one little poof of fire in one quadrant, you know, then you see a poof, but you know where this is going. The self-destruct is activated.
It's the Hindenburg. You can just watch, right?
Yeah, you watch the Hindenburg and you go, oh, there's some fire around the front. And then it's like, oh boy, here it goes. And before you know it, the guy's yelling, oh, the humanity.
Exactly. That's what ends up happening.
What's not going to happen is the nose is on fire. We put the nose out. We're going to have to land.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist. That part's on fire. Now the middle's on fire. Now the whole thing's on fire.
What's amazing to me is how quickly, because he's not known, and I think initially the right was saying that the left was protecting him, and I kept thinking this is an inside baseball story because, you know, it's not like he's an actor. It's not like he's a beloved figure like Bill Cosby. It's not like that it's somebody from falling from grace that's in the kind of zeitgeist of the public. So I was a little surprised at how quickly this mushroomed, weren't you?
Well, it's kind of interesting that, and of course, it kind of has to be a perfect storm. I mean, there's a couple things. You have to look the role, you know. He's a chauvinist pig, you know, and he
checks all the boxes.
Yeah, Bill Nye, the Science Guy, doesn't look right for this role, you know. So it's like, you got to look right. And then you got to be one of these guys who is a behind-the-scenes guy who's in front of the scenes. And in many ways, not unlike yourself. You're the famous guy's attorney, but at some point you get famous, you know, and he's the producer and Matt Damon's the star. But at a certain point, he's at all the award shows and he's walking down the red carpet. And he represents, to the right, he represents Hollywood.
Right.
That's Hollywood. He's a poster child for Hollywood.
And giving a fortune to Democratic causes.
Right. So he set himself, he got in the crosshairs of every conservative talk show host and Tucker Carlson's of the world. And all these guys went, we hate Hollywood. And this guy is the living, breathing manifestation of Hollywood. He is all of Hollywood. He's more Hollywood than Ben Affleck or Matt Damon. They're actors. This guy's everything.
You combine that coming on the heels of Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly.
Right.
And kind of that pent up, what the hell, and boy, with a vengeance. I mean,
they have, each side has. It's funny. They're really like, it's a totally adolescent behavior, which is the funny thing. It's funny. So the right says, oh, when O'Reilly does something, you guys go nuts. But when Letterman does something, not a peep out of you. And they go, what? It's the exact opposite. Everyone goes after Bill Clinton, and Roger Ailes gets that's one day. He gets a free pass. Like, both sides the exact same picture completely differently.
That's what's crazy. And she didn't understand that. I think Lisa, how could she be the woman leading the charge against Bill O'Reilly, yet calling her, whatever you want, her paymaster, a dinosaur who needs to be educated. I mean, you know, the one thing America doesn't tolerate, I think, is hypocrisy.
You nailed it. I've just got done saying this, which is you can be gay, and that's fine. You can't be a preacher who rails against homosexuality, then gets caught in the Minnesota bathroom doing the toe tap.
Right.
That you can't, or congressman, or whoever. Yeah, you can't be that.
You can't be the congressman who's telling his mistress, get the abortion, as you're putting out and voting for the making it illegal at the same time. That drives that is, if you're a crisis manager and the congressman comes to you, you want to tell him, you know, I think I would resign. I wouldn't just say that I'm not running for re-election.
You can be. It's weird. We have probably a pretty endless tolerance for. You can be Mitt Romney as long as you're Mitt Romney,
right?
And you can be Charlie Sheen,
right?
As long as you're Charlie Sheen, we'll accept both of you.
Exactly,
but you can't.
Right.
Talk like Mitt Romney and act like Charlie Sheen. And that's right. You know what's comical, though, is I was thinking about the other day when he's like, I have a whole folder filled with women or something.
Right.
And
they, binders
they,
full.
Binders, and they went nuts on that. Like, it seems so quaint. First off, is a guy allowed to speak off the cuff? And I don't even know what that meant. You keep women in binders? Like, that was the weirdest.
What are you, Ted Bundy?
That was basically, boy, that was the left making rock soup. Like, I want soup. What do we got? A rock.
Right.
But how do we do this? Like, we got nothing. He's been married to the same woman for 40 years. He may call a kid gay in high school in 1953. It's like they had nothing with him. Like, it's so crazy.
Go back historically and look at how crazy when he said Russia was our biggest threat. Well, guess what?
No,
and now Russia is our biggest threat. That's why I think people get so turned off to this right versus left thing.
Right. So the Weinstein thing is. I hear stuff in the news. Oh, he could be brought up on charges, statute of limitations. He might not be able to leave the country. They should be prosecuting. You know, and then I had other people say he can't be prosecuted. He's allowed to leave, or he can do what he wants.
California, unless it's something recent, which it doesn't sound like any of the ones that I've heard so far, they changed the statute as of, I want to say, January 1st of this year. But you can't do an ex post facto prosecution. So now that you may have an extensive or a long statute does not mean that stuff that expired already can be revived. The U.S. Supreme Court's already got an opinion saying, I think the case was called Stogner. It involved Catholic priests, and it was U.S. Supreme Court saying, just because you extended the statute of limitations back then, I think it went from 3 years to 8 years, you couldn't then revive a crime that had already expired. That would be against due process, and that violates the constitutional ex post facto law. The New York statute of limitations is more interesting. People, did you hear the tape that was played of this woman who was the accuser, 19
Italian
at the
model.
Time? Yeah,
yeah,
the Italian model.
I was like, poor Mel Gibson's wife is yet embroiled in another hard-hitting expose. Yeah, it just reminded me of Mel talking to his wife.
Talking to his wife, just for a minute, come in here. And then Harvey, again, and I know, because I've been tainted with this 1,000 times, where I'll represent one client and they'll go, oh, you're the guy who represented Chris Brown. Or I represent another client. Oh, you represented Scott Peterson. But Harvey's so into optics and hiring females. And then he hires for criminal defense here in California the lawyer that represented Mel Gibson. And as you were, I was laughing the same thing. And then, by the way, the Italian model, I think, Gary, you can correct me if I'm wrong, somebody told me she was also involved in the prime minister scandal in Italy in the Bunga Bunga parties.
Absolutely was. She attended them as a teenager and then turned state's witness in Italy. And a lot of the people involved in the New York thing said that that sort of waylaid the DA. The DA didn't want to go through with it because he thought it would turn into a circus.
You know, I'm usually the
What's
first
a Bunga
guy to
Bunga party?
Bunga Bungas are like the Italian version of an orgy.
Wow.
Yeah. She was apparently there. Yeah. Yeah. And mm-hmm. So yesterday, we're taping this on Thursday, you drop it on Saturday. So Wednesday, the DA, Cy Vance in New York, I was there yesterday, watched his press conference, and he was defending his office's decision not to file charges at the time, back in 2015. And at the same time, they put out a statement kind of trolling for other victims, saying, you know, if you've been manhandled by Harvey Weinstein, call this number, blah, blah, blah. But if you listen to the tape, their explanation, the DA's explanation, makes some sense because they say the cops never came to them to get their input on what they would want. This was what was called a pretextual call. This happens all the times in sex prosecutions.
Yeah.
If they've got a he said, she said, the cops will tape a call, have somebody call in, and then try to get you to admit, like, why did you touch my breast or why did you bang me last
right,
night?
Right, right.
And to get the guy to say, look, I'm sorry, I thought you wanted it, or just anything to confirm it. So they didn't, in their cops' wisdom, they did not consult with the DA. And frankly, the tape is somewhat mortifying for a number of different reasons. But from a criminal standpoint, to file a misdemeanor charge against a guy that you know is going to come at you with the highest of high-profile defense and unlimited resources, and a DA's office that spectacularly had to dismiss Dominic Strauss-Kahn in the middle of that kind of prosecution, I can see where they would say, yeah, this is a reject. It's a misdemeanor. Grab my boob. She didn't really say it was unwanted, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I look, the part where it's like, hey, come on in. I mean, that seems like a nothing burger to
That's
me.
That's nothing.
And grab my boob is a half a nothing burger, and it's still nothing. It's a former DA. I can tell you. There's really nothing there. And so what we're going to do with these guys and half the people in Hollywood is what we did to Billy Bush.
Exactly.
Which is, you should have done something.
Right.
And they're all going to go, huh? And we'll see if we, you know, Billy Bush was basically guilty of being in a bus while a blustery guy made told not a story of here's what I did, a story of I'm so popular in New York City, I could kill an infant on Madison Avenue and be elected mayor. Not I'm an infant killer. Uh-huh. Not I've killed infants on Madison. I could do this, and they still love me. That's how popular I am. That was basically a peacock just showing his plumage. And Billy Bush was sort of... He was like a pigeon who had to sit there and watch the peacock strut a little bit, and then they were going to go home. Yeah, and everyone wants to know, why didn't you jump in and tackle the peacock? And it's like, because that's not his job, and it's just moving on.
And I think he did himself no favors. I think we've discussed it before. I don't understand the mea culpas. And
I don't. I am much more not sympathetic, but likely to believe and to take the side of somebody not who says the best defense is a good offense, but the guy who says, what do you want from me? And what have you done any differently? And what do you think Joe Blow on the other network would have done? Dove in and yelled, right. daughters,
exactly.
And backhanded him.
I have daughters and I'm going to tackle
him. Challenge him to a duel. He's a blustery big guy who's blowing hard, and I'm just nodding and doing a fake laugh. You've all done it a thousand times at a cocktail party. What are you talking about?
It's so true. I just, it cracks me up because I say it all the time. The things that you hear from people, you and I have discussed this, the things you hear behind closed doors, so to speak, and what am I going to do, take a cattle prod with me at all times and cattle prod everybody who is inappropriate or says something inappropriate? I mean, it's just, it is what it is.
It is what it is, and we've all been around it. Look, man, you work on a construction site, you'll hear a ton of racist shit.
Right, and misogynist shit.
Oh,
I mean, I've been on construction sites.
You got to talk to welders.
Yeah.
they're the creme de la creme. But the point is I've heard a ton of it. And I just remember like thinking, you know, we're sitting on a pile of drywall eating lunch. I'm not going to coach this guy up, but I'm not coming to a barbecue at his house.
Right.
That's about it. That moving on. That was about it.
And if the same guy says, hey, let's go get drinks tonight. Nah, I don't think so. I'm busy. I mean, you know, it's just...
On the other hand, I'm not going to scream at him because I got to deal with this guy.
Right.
I live in the real world. He's not going anywhere.
I know. I don't have to go out of my way to do one or the other, and I do not understand what responsibility I have for corrective action. I mean, I can get mad at somebody. I can tell some client, I don't want to represent you because you're distasteful to me. I've done that before. I've just said, said, I don't like you. And they said, what do you mean? I just say, I just don't like you. I'm too old to represent you anymore because I've got no patience for you and you're an asshole. But the but I don't view my job as to go around, you know, throwing flags like a referee every time somebody says something.
It's the most disingenuous thing we do because nobody who amongst us would have corrected Trump in the vacuum of not knowing the mics were hot.
Right.
Nobody. Nobody you know, nobody I know, and including myself, and the folks who say they would are lying.
They're totally lying. I get
it. So with that in mind, what are we to do with Billy Bush? And just keep walking.
Yeah.
Like, so now a lot of that's going to happen with Weinstein.
Look what's happened to Weinstein just in the last 3 days. I mean, it's building like the Hindenburg now has lit a fire on a community somewhere. I mean,
right.
it's unbelievable.
It's not going to be enough that Weinstein goes down. We got to make sure we get Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. They got to go too.
Yeah.
And now if it's true, I don't know, but you know, we cannot tell what people know, and if somebody says, I'd heard some stories, but I never saw anything, and he never did anything in front of me, we can't do anything with that. But if you made a phone call to a newspaper and said, don't run this story about this guy, well, that is something.
Right.
That's
circumstantial evidence.
Right, and that's not good.
You are complicit, in fact, in legal terms. You're an aider and abettor, an accessory after the fact.
Well, yeah, because complicit is looking the other way. You picked up the phone.
Yeah, you took an action.
You took an action.
And that's the definition of, you know, mere presence is not enough to be a accomplice. But if you make an overt action, if you do something to further the conspiracy criminally, that's an issue.
Yeah, and I don't know if I just heard through a couple outlets that some phone calls were made. Russell Crowe was supposed to be in on it as well. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if you can prove it.
I don't know how it works. Any of it. But it's interesting to me that I think that the New York Times, you know, everybody was kind of, and once again, I'm just observing, everybody was saying, well, look, the New York Times, that left-wing publication, took him out. As a practical matter.
Is that correct? I thought it was the New Yorker.
They published first to get the jump because they heard.
Did you guys see the story that this
Pharaoh's story in New Yorker was publishing, so they jumped it 2 days ahead.
Did you see the story that gentleman, Pharaoh's, apparently wrote this for NBC and then the executive spiked it and that's why he went elsewhere?
Yeah. Yeah. He was at.
That's
you
not
may remember
look great.
He only
that's
had a
gonna
show.
Look good either.
No. Yeah.
He
no,
only
no,
had
no.
A, he had a show there at MSNBC.
Yeah.
Right. So,
and God, does he look like Frank Sinatra?
Oh my God, and Mia Farrow.
Yeah,
talking about a gene pool.
Yeah.
So the it's funny. I forgot it was Frank Sinatra because I look at him and I go, "That's Mia Farrow," but that other half ain't Woody.
It's like
and there's something going on.
I'm telling you, he looks amazingly like Frank.
So the question is, Weinstein's going to go down. But then how much collateral damage around him is
going
to happen?
Well, his wife has left him, and the reports are either he told her to leave or she left. My guess is, can you imagine that conversation?
Was she there for 30 years? I mean, did
no.
she just...
She's, I want to say, the second wife. They've got two young kids who I feel
I believe it's like a 10-year relationship.
10-year.
Yeah. I want to say 2004, maybe married 2006. Yeah. The kids are under 10.
You know, there's another factor that everyone has to kind of understand as they navigate life. Everybody, like by all accounts, and I dealt with him, his business a little bit.
A little bit? You've been kind of early money on this.
All he does is screw people over in this town. That's all he does. And then go, look, you're a little independent filmmaker. I got your film. I'm screwing you. I got a team of lawyers. And if you'd like to spend a bunch of money, which you don't have, the least litigious people in the world are like artisan directors and screenwriters. They're just meek dudes who wear tight t-shirts and scarves, and they don't know anything about lawyering up. They're not aggressive. They don't have money. That's right. They don't understand anything. Yeah. And so he just steamrolls them, takes the stuff, makes the money, doesn't share the profits, and dares them to sue them. So he has seeded the soil of this town with a bunch of angry people. Like, I said on a radio show this morning, I said, don't worry, ladies. He's been screwing guys in this town, too.
And, you know, the interesting thing is it's been reported, and I wish I had some inside information, that his brother was the one who has been, he's got kind of a love-hate Cain Abel relationship with.
I read the same thing.
Do you read this? And
absolutely.
That he was the one who tipped off or fed the New York Times the story because he knew the New Yorker article was coming out and that was behind it. If that's the case and he's now, then he gets the board to fire him, that's really kind of next level stabbing the shit out of somebody, right?
So what do you think, by the way, we got one spot left.
There are two spots left. You each
two
have
spots
one.
Left. All right. Well, let me hit this. Yeah.
I got, Gary, we talked about this. I got a box of Tommy John when I walked in here.
Oh, really?
Yes.
There's a box waiting for you there, Ace. Yeah. That's in the front.
No more awkward underwear adjustments for me. They've been that, which has, by the way, been plaguing guys for decades. But one company, Tommy John, is putting an end to this adjustment epidemic once and for all. Tommy John, 21st century men's underwear crafted from ultralight, breathable fabrics that move with you. Never any riding up. I wear them every day. Love them. Adam does. Gary does, too.
Absolutely.
Plus, super soft undershirts that never come untucked. Socks made with stay-up technology. They never roll down. All backed with the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. You've got absolutely nothing to lose. I mean, I'm going to – what's in my box? I haven't opened it yet.
I believe there's going to be underwear and undershirt and boxer.
I want the socks.
And socks.
Too. Socks. Okay,
the socks are
yeah. I need
smart.
More of the socks. You know how socks disappear. Anyway, I'm supposed to throw it to you, Gary.
There you go. Hurry to TommyJohn.com now and use code Adam. You get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com. Code Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com. Code Adam.
So predictions when it comes to Weinstein.
I think similar to Cosby, somebody somewhere will file a charge. Because when you've got, you know, I hate to paint this broad brush, but there is a prosecutor somewhere who wants to be hailed as a hero. And this is a great prosecution to be hailed as a hero. And somebody will get creative and I think file something. I think it's a matter of time.
The way these things work, knowing the timeline as you know it, is there... It's funny. So, you know, my son's in the hospital. They're doing this thing where it's like if there's no leakage in the brain, there's a little thing and a crack and a stuff. We observe him. But if we don't see anything after 3 days, we let him go home because it's essentially like saying you got a puncture in your tire. But if you go out to the garage and the tire's not flat and it's been 3 days, then go ahead and take it on the road.
Right.
So that's what they're doing. But there's a timeline and a period. In your experience, when stuff like this happens, is there an emulsification period? Is somebody, multiple people, feverishly lawyering up, having lunches, discussing strategies, and planning press conferences a week from now or Monday?
I think that given the New York aspect of this, that you will, if I had to bet, I would lay odds that New York is probably the most likely jurisdiction for something to be filed. I mean, that's...
And in terms of more victims, more outrageous, things we haven't heard yet, is it a kind of a thing where would your gut be, well, it's been 5 days, we've heard all we need to hear from these victims, or is it your experience that there's probably one or two bombshells out there waiting?
No, there's almost always one or two bombshells you haven't heard yet.
And what takes, what is the what is the cool down period? They're discussing it. They've talked to lawyers. They're discussing it. They're coming up with a strategy.
Coming up with a strategy. First is you'd have to. Most prosecutors in sexual assault cases want a fresh complaint. That's the term they use, which means either. And that doesn't have to be to law enforcement. That could be I told my sister, I told my mother, something like that in real time. And then an explanation for why you didn't do something. In this case, it's tailor-made. Anybody who's followed this story for 30 seconds knows they're going to say, oh, he's the most powerful guy, and I wanted to work, and I was afraid.
Right.
If you've got that, if you're within – if it's non-consensual sex that's alleged, then that probably satisfies any statute of limitations issue. If it's a – pussy grab or a boob grab. And by the way, until Trump, I want to say I'd never heard the pussy grab term. But
no.
But something like that where it's a body part over the clothing is generally a misdemeanor. And so the statute is probably blown unless he was down there at the Tribeca Grand Hotel.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. You say non-consensual. You sort of You look at Harvey Weinstein, you go, it's all non-consensual. The question is did he tip? Like, it's not consensual.
That's the one who was saying, so, he looks like Shrek. There is something to it.
If you show a model, the 23-year-old Italian model, and then you show Harvey Weinstein, we'll do the math on the consensual part. But look, we started off talking about Usher and the plus-size model he was with, and there's a reverse kind of consensual math you're doing on that one. And I'm sure that factors in when you're thinking about representing somebody.
I think it's clear that it is. But, you know, that's everybody looks at their thing through their prism. It's the only time that it's frustrating is when people don't admit that there are biases. Everybody's got their bias. And when prosecutors don't, that's what drives me crazy. When defense lawyers are ideologues, that drives me crazy at the same time.
Again, Alan Dershowitz brought that up and got tarred and feathered
a few
months ago.
Stating what was obvious. Yes, when they convened a grand jury in District of Columbia, yes, that was going to be comprised with more African Americans than the Virginia grand jury. That is a fact. Period. End of story.
As taught to him by Johnny Cochran, is another.
Which, by the way, as I always reveal, he was always very good to me. And he, by the way, always spoke, at least to me, complimentary of Dershowitz. So the whole thing is another great frustration.
So predictions then on Weinstein.
I think that New York, the prosecutor, if I had to bet, I'm going to say Cy Vance's office, the New York State or New York State as opposed to federal district attorney, is the most likely place for him to get charged. But number one, prosecutors don't like to be, have it implied that they did favors for people who are high profile. And that press conference yesterday was nothing but the press accusing him of doing that. So there's going to be quite a reaction internally. It's interesting because you now see kind of this tension between the police department and the DA. Normally, they work hand in glove. But in this case, it's basically the cops are fragging the DA's office here by releasing stuff.
If Weinstein wanted to leave to go to France today.
And room with Roman Polanski.
Room with Roman. Share the same hot tub.
Right.
Is he allowed to do that?
Yes. No charges. He could leave right now. In fact, I thought yesterday it was being reported that he had left and he was headed for Switzerland. Who knows if that's true? Today it's being reported that he checked into some place, the Meadows, I think, which is in Arizona.
Not anymore. He's moved from that portion of Arizona. He's now in the Scottsdale area, and it's unclear where he's going to check into. He landed near the Meadows, but apparently left for some reason.
Now, if he goes to France, can we bring him back?
No.
We still have no extradition anything.
Right. So, because two places he could go and there's no extradition. He could go to Armenia or he could go to France.
Oh, that's a coin toss.
Yeah.
So
Paris or Yerevan? Well, they're both the City of Lights.
Baguettes are incessant haggling and being called my friend all the time by people that are trying to screw you. Now, what should he... Oh, God, I got to tell you an Armenian story.
Tell me.
Oh, you're going to love it. Then I got to ask. Then we're going to ask. But you tell me if this isn't Armenian as Armenian gets.
Okay.
All right. So there's a warehouse, a third warehouse in between the two warehouses.
The one you bought.
Own. Yeah. And the guy's Armenian.
Right.
And
he's the tenant who doesn't want to – the man who came to dinner?
I'm so glad I set the table.
Okay.
Because he's been in there for 24 years. He's got all his equipment all plugged in, and it's going to be a pain in the ass for him to move. And I haven't really – he's month to month. So right. If I buy the place, I can say, you know, you got 28 days.
Right.
And or I can say you can stay for 5 years. I can say whatever I want. I'll figure it out.
Right.
So when I showed up at the realtor as a potential buyer, as I told you, we're met at the door with the guy yeah. holding the machete with his shirt off, basically saying, "What is? No, you're not, that's good." And it's the only time anyone's ever arranged a property building inspection where you were forbidden for going into this area or that area. You can't go into the back. You know, it's just a lot of stand by the bathroom in the entry hall and look around. You know, but you're not going back there. You're not going. It's the whole thing. All right. I returned 2 weeks later, not as a prospective buyer, but as the owner.
Oh, the deal had closed.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you got a guy who does not want to move.
Right. He's literally a squatter.
And I'm going to have to decide, does he stay a month? Does he stay a year?
This guy should be sucking up big time.
But the next time we knock down, my friend, come in, have some baklava. Sit down,
exactly.
Sit down, take a load off. Have you lost weight?
Yeah.
You look amazing. So good.
Are you lifting weights?
Somebody's working out. Come in, this is my wife. Come in. Oh, yes, she's a big fan.
Meet Anahit. She loves you.
You have a bracelet? We make a bracelet. You have jewelry. You need jewelry. Yes, yes, my friend. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like
that is so Armo.
I think it was like the most Armo moment in the world.
That distills down everything of the Armo DNA. What I can hardly wait for is for this guy to not make the connection that I'm your podcast partner on Reasonable Doubt, yet call my office and want to sue Adam Carolla to force him to give him a lease. I can hardly wait for that chapter of the story.
My friend, I make you a pinky ring. So that was the funniest moment in the world.
My
wife was taking pictures with me. Ooh. He was offering food and literally offering to make me jewelry. It was the most Armenian moment in the world. Boy, was I having a laugh. Anyway, a nice enough guy, I guess. And we'll see what his fate is. I'll keep you guys posted.
Keep us posted.
So back to Weinstein.
Right.
Weinstein is how old?
65, I think. He grew up in the – remember? He grew up of age, coming of age in the 60s or
70s. 65. Right? All right. Would you – if you represented him, would you say, look, you're rich, you're divorced, your kids are grown up. You've felt every boob. You've grabbed every snatch.
Right.
Go to Switzerland and just –
chill.
Ride it out.
Switzerland, I think he's got a problem.
Oh,
France,
go to France.
Yeah.
Go to France.
I think I would say you ought to get out of the look, I would tell you not to flee the jurisdiction, to flee an active criminal investigation. As long as I can determine there's no active criminal investigation, then that is not committing a crime. If I know there's an active investigation and I advise him to leave the country, I got issues.
You got issues.
I have issues, yeah.
Right.
I can't advise somebody to flee the jurisdiction to avoid an investigation. But if I've determined that there is no active investigation, or if he gives me his word that he'll come back when I tell him to, then ethically you've got an exit strategy.
Well, you and I know, or at least feel, that there's going to be charges at some point.
It sure has the smell
right. Of
the criminal charges, whether it's a misdemeanor or something like that. And
he knows. Now, see, the difference between you and me and Harvey is he knows where the bodies are hidden.
Right.
He's got to know they're or not. Look, he could be thinking to himself, hey, this Italian bitch, that's the worst it's ever been, so good luck. Or he can be thinking, there's a couple of people out there whose names you know who, God, if they ever step forward, I'd never leave prison.
We could be in another Bill Cosby scenario here, because the Italian woman, after they decided not to file charges, he went and had her sign an affidavit and an NDA, and he paid her off. And this has apparently been done multiple times. So what are the chances that we have another Cosby situation where somebody who was paid, has an NDA, just kind of goes, well, it's so in the news, nothing's going to happen to me, and comes out with something that's...
The interesting thing about the NDA is what people say, you cannot preemptively have somebody sign something. Two individuals, private individuals, NDA, whatever you want to call it, non-disclosure, sometimes they call it a confidentiality clause, that all goes out the window if you're subject to legal process. So if the DA puts you in front of a grand jury, if the DA subpoenas you to testify, you cannot say, I can't talk. There's no confidentiality privilege. The only person who can enforce the privilege is, you can enforce it by saying, if you talked and you weren't under legal process, I'm going to claw back the money I gave you. But that doesn't stop you. You can't force somebody not to talk. Otherwise, so, you'd be committing basically an obstruction.
So the DA then is aware of all the people that had the non-disclosures, right?
Now they are. If they had been aware in 2015 of everything that was in the two New York Times and the New Yorker piece, my guess is they would have filed back then in 2015. If they knew then what they know now, they clearly would have filed something then. And God knows if they knew the public outrage then that they know now, they would have filed.
All right. Well, let me ask you the last question, which is, you're not Harvey Weinstein's representation. You are Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
And you're divorced, the kids are adults, and hey, George Clooney spends more time in Europe than he does in L.A. It's not like you're never going to see the guy again. You like rich foods, evidently. just feeling to me like he stays here, the DA in New York files on Monday, and potentially the rest of his life is ruined from that point on.
His life is pretty...
his life is ruined anyway, but yeah. I mean, he could really be incarcerated, and I mean, there could be a real... From that point on, there's a window right now in a private jet.
Well, the other thing he's got... Gary can probably look this up. He's got two young kids, is my
understanding. He has younger kids.
He's got younger kids that I think are younger than... Natalia.
And, he has older kids and younger kids.
Correct. And so he has to make that decision. Do I just ride this out of the country? And, you know, there is something to be said. The French are more permissive and not as they don't get as worked up as Americans do on this stuff.
Right.
Seven and four. Probably. Yeah.
So that's the tough part.
Right.
But if you're him, if I'm him, I go, listen, I'm just going to jump on a charter jet, and I'm going to France, and I'll be there. And
call me if you need me.
And the phone rings, and it's, you know, a colleague of yours going, the DA's filed in New York, and I'd go, who's he talked to? And they drop a few names of a few folks that I remember that night. I go, I think I'm going to stay here.
Yeah, I don't think I'm coming. Do your investigation while I wrap up my loose ends.
Right, so... I guess what I'm feeling like is, why isn't he in Europe right now? Is that an admission of guilt?
I think that so far he's done, it's the way this has been handled is a primer on how not to handle this kind of thing in a crisis. I just don't understand. For a guy who supposedly has covered stuff up and had people and had this, as a mover and a shaker, it's astonishing as to how this has been handled and how it's unfolded. And I'm just watching it like a car wreck. I mean, when you start the first things he did, the second things he did, putting out there that he was leaving the country. I was at CNN yesterday, and all the chatter there was he's fleeing the country to go room with Roman Polanski. I mean, that was the first thing that everybody said. Then it's Arizona. And, you know, people, I'm going to go work on myself, that kind of stuff. That's for... drugs, and the sex addiction is for somebody who's, you know, it's the actor who I won't name or taint, who was cheating on his wife and stuff like that. That's kind of that realm. This is, you've got a different problem. And what a lot of these Hollywood types never understand, having represented so many of them, is, guys, we're in the criminal arena now. This is not something where you're going to try to just kind of be a, try to work it like you're working to get an Oscar nomination. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
It's not working the media to get an Oscar nomination. There's not going to be a series of great stories about Harvey Weinstein right now. We need to squelch this. We need to go underground. We need to hope in 72 hours another huge story comes along that takes you off the front page while we do a parallel investigation. And you better be truthful to me and tell me what else is out there. I don't want to be surprised.
When I was looking at his Wikipedia for the kids' ages, I just noticed he has a title, and it is an honorary award for the most excellent order of the British Empire, and it is an award for chivalry.
Maybe it is dead. I got to tell you, if I was defending the guy, you know, if they do level charges and it does get into that Cosby realm, which I assume it will be, I would use the tape with the young Italian actress, and I would say, this man has a mental this is a condition. You know, it's one thing, you go out on the road, you bang a hooker or a starlet, and then you claim, I have a disease.
Right.
That's called having a dick and balls.
Yeah.
His begging for this chick to, like, watch him shower, that smacks of disease. This is the alcoholic version of drinking sterno.
Right.
This isn't.
I know you've reached. I mean, it was really. I said it was uncomfortable on a lot of levels to listen to that.
But
tape.
I would use and go, this is a disturbed guy. This guy has a problem. I would bring a doctor in, a team of doctors, and go, this guy's not a lech. He has a disease.
But,
I mean,
and especially if you've got males on that jury, the males are going to. They're going to get that. They're going to understand that there's a lot of fucked up people in the world.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I don't have sympathy for him, but as he was begging for the 55th time for her to come in and just watch him in the shower, I realized that's not a blowjob. That's watch him in the shower. That's weird. That's disease. Feels weird to me.
The other thing is, and this always happens to me, and I know it's my own bias, is I love a good public lynching as much as anybody, you know, in terms of this. But when it starts to just get crazy, and we've approached just getting crazy with the thing.
Well,
And that's my bias.
The last 2 weeks, you go, you know, who the villains of the week? Well, there's Mike Pence. He walked out of that game.
Right.
Then you got Weinstein, and then you got that shooter in Vegas.
Right.
I'd say in that order.
Right.
And it's like, come on, we police have to understand the difference between
exactly
guys and guys who killed 58 people.
I'm so with you, because every time I see that, or I see the forest fires raging in Northern California, and I just say, it's just, I don't understand what the outrage at certain, I don't know.
You're right. You're right. All right, let me tell you what you, I'll be outraged if you don't have Simply Safe. I understand why someone may put off getting home security. Simply Safe, the best. You don't want the slimy sales guys poking around your house. Long-term contracts, expensive installations, why bother? But you can get the best protection so easily these days. All you have to do is get Simply Safe home security. I have it. Dawson has it.
I'm still waiting for mine.
We're getting Gargis his. Yeah. You get top-of-the-line protection, no long-term contracts, no hidden fees. Just order it online. Set it up in an hour at your home, and your family will be protected 24/7. Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 hours. 10 years. Difference there. You will go online. You'll figure out, you know, how many doors, how many smoke detectors, how many keypads. You know, maybe put one next to the garage door and one in the master bed or by the front door. You figure it out. Put your system together. Peel and stick shows up at the front door. You're done. SimplySafe.com/Adam3. That's SimplySafe.com/ADAMTHREE, or you can get it now at your local Best Buy. But get online and let them know you got it here by typing in Adam and the word 3. All right. Mark Gargis, where has the time gone?
Can you believe it? As per usual. It's amazing.
Now, what is this? Where am I? Tonight? Where's my plugs, Gary?
You know what? I screwed that up. Tonight is Nashville. I thought these were over. I'm sorry. Nashville tonight at the Polk Theater.
That's correct. Jake
was just there. He fell in love with it.
Everyone loves Nashville. Yeah. It's going to sad. I'll have to leave at 7 the next morning. Well, I'm eating some barbecue, goddammit.
Hot chicken.
Live shows everywhere. Just go to amcarolla.com, live podcasts everywhere. But Nashville, I'll see you guys tonight at the Polk Theater. And come out after the show. We'll sign some autographs, take some pictures, and all that good stuff. And everything else, just go to amcarolla.com. Mark, what do you got?
I've got V Palm Springs, Gary's favorite spot. Also, the Casa Clemente, we got the which is in San Clemente, which is spectacular. Tenny Restaurant, Mediterranean Tapas, and Prova Pizza in the Grand Central Station. Coming soon, our second location in New York City.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla from Mark Gargis saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.